Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Good to see all of you, along with Harold, who made the announcements. I want to welcome you and tell you how glad I am that you're here. Let's take our Bibles, please. Open to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Invite you to come back this afternoon at 5 o'clock, where we'll meet again to worship God. Tonight I'm going to answer another question that's been submitted. I'm not going to tell you what the question is. If you want to know what it is, come this afternoon at 5, and then you'll find out. Does the Bible need interpretation? Does it make any difference how we interpret Scripture? Sometimes when we find ourselves in a discussion of the Bible with someone, he or she may say, well, you have your interpretation, and I have mine. The accepted idea is that if we differ in our interpretations of the Bible, then the only thing that really matters is that we are sincere and that we act in harmony with what we believe. Why do we study the same New Testament and draw different conclusions? If I interpret the Bible differently than you do, then it's either because God was incapable of giving us a book that we could agree upon, or because there's a problem in how I or both of us have in studying the Bible. Now, of those two options, I choose to believe the latter. This morning we're going to deal with the question we've just raised. Why do we interpret the Bible differently? And I want us to begin here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God is the author of the Bible. He is the source. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, and so we have the more prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures did not originate with man. They originated with God. God is the author of the Bible. Also, we need to understand that God's Word is true. When Jesus prayed to God, as recorded in John 17 and verse 17, on behalf of his disciples, he said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So God is the author of the Bible. God's word is truth. And something else we need to understand is that God desires unity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, we read these words of the Apostle Paul when he said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. God is the author of the Bible. God's word is truth. God desires unity, that we all speak the same thing, and that we all have the same judgment. One of the things about truth is that it does not contradict itself. For example, God does not say in one place in the Bible that baptism is essential for salvation. Then in another place in the Bible where he says that baptism is optional. God does not teach in one place in the Bible that we can choose to obey Him, and then in another place in the Bible say that He arbitrarily predestined a certain number of people to be saved and a certain number to be lost, and that there can be nothing to change that number. God does not in one place say that a Christian can fall from grace, while in another place in the Bible teach that a Christian can never lose his salvation. Now, what's the point of all these examples? What's simple? How could we have confidence in a man, let alone God, who would contradict himself like that? Well, obviously, we would have no confidence in him, and rightly so. This question, why do we interpret the Bible differently? We need to understand what interpretation is all about. That word just simply means to explain, or to tell the meaning of, or to present in understandable terms. That's what the word interpret means. Does the Bible need interpretation? You bet. Sure it does. And let's notice a few things about that. First of all, the word interpret is used in the Bible to explain words in another language. For example, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated or interpreted, "God with us." One way in which the word interpret is used in the Bible is to explain words in another place, in another language, rather. Another example of that, and we won't look at all these, but all these are examples of this very thing. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 22, "And they brought him to the place Golgotha," which is translated or interpreted "place of a skull." So sometimes the word interpret is used to explain words in another language. Also, sometimes the word is used in reference to translating sentences from one language to another. For example, in the book of Mark, chapter 5 and verse 41. It says, "Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.'" And in the same book, chapter 15 and verse 34. Mark 15, verse 34. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which is translated or interpreted, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" So sometimes in the New Testament, the word interpret means to translate sentences from one language to another so that we can understand what's being said. Since the Bible was written originally in Hebrew and in Greek, and since we speak English, we depend upon translations. Translation demands interpretation. The word interpret is also used in the New Testament of explaining the Christ of Old Testament prophecies. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 44, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice verse 45 there. Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scripture. Opening their understanding that they might comprehend. Understanding, comprehending. That's what interpretation is about. Also in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." That word declare means to reveal or to interpret or to make known. And so what John is saying here is that Jesus, being the Word, the personified Word that became flesh, declared God. So that like in John 14 and verse 9, when Jesus told Thomas, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So the word interpret can be used to explain words in another language. It's used to in translating sentences from one language to another. It's used in explaining the Christ of Old Testament prophecies. And also concerning interpretation, we've got some examples of that. Let's look at one in the Old Testament, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 8. This was the occasion where Ezra and the Jews were at the Watergate, and they had the book of the law of Moses. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, the Levites there that are mentioned by name in the preceding verse, they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. They gave the sense. That's interpretation. They read distinctly, they gave the sense, and they helped them to understand what they were reading. You have the same thing with Philip and the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. The eunuch was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He didn't understand what he was reading, and he asked Philip, you know, how can I understand this? And Philip began at that same scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now, that's not to say that a person, an individual by himself, cannot take the Bible on his own and read and study and understand it. He certainly can. But sometimes we need help to understand what is written in the Scriptures. Just like Philip helped the eunuch. So sometimes we as Christians help other people to understand what they are reading in Scripture. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy to study, to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth, that involves interpretation. That involves a proper application of what's in Scripture. And also with interpretation, sometimes people ask, can we understand the Bible? And the answer to that is yes. Since interpretation involves understanding, that logically leads us to ask, can we understand the Bible? Yes. Ephesians 5:17. "Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, having the same mind, the same judgment about what is written in Scripture. That makes for unity. So yes, we can understand the Bible. If we approach a study of the Bible with the attitude that we can understand it, then we will. But if we approach a study of the Bible with the attitude that we cannot understand it, then we won't. It's just as simple as that. And since we can understand the Bible, the next question is, can we understand it alike? And the answer to that is yes. Like we just read in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. The same mind, the same judgment. Now, would God, would Christ, would the Apostle Paul have said these things if they knew that it was not possible for us to understand the Bible and understand it alike? Oneness. Unity is possible based upon faith in and obedience to the Word of God. Oneness, unity, would not be possible if we could not understand the Bible alike. So, interpretation, explaining words in another language, translating sentences from one language to another, explaining the Christ of Old Testament prophecies. The examples in Nehemiah 8, Acts chapter 8, 2 Timothy 2:15. And yes, we can understand the Bible. Now, back to our original question. Now that we've seen, yes, the Bible does need interpretation. And yes, it does make a difference how we interpret Scripture. The other question is, why do people interpret it differently? What are some reasons that people misinterpret the Bible? Well, let's consider some of those reasons. Matthew chapter 22, we find a couple reasons. Matthew 22, verse 29. This was the occasion where the Sadducees tried to put Jesus on the spot, put him to the test, and ask him a question that they thought there's no way in the world he could answer. But Jesus turned the tables on them and put it back on them. But notice in Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken." In other words, he told those Sadducees about this question and their denial of the resurrection, the Bible doctrine of the resurrection. He said, "You're wrong about that. You are wrong." Sometimes that needs to be said. Jesus said it. And when we're studying with people about the Bible and they have a false doctrine that they hold or a false view or a misinterpretation, in all kindness and tactfully speaking the truth in love, tell them, "You're wrong about that. And here's how come you're wrong. You are mistaken." Not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. There's two reasons here given as to why people interpret the Bible differently or misinterpret the Bible. One is, because of ignorance. They don't know the Scriptures. Now, that's not necessarily in and of itself a bad thing, because we know that Scripture teaches when a person becomes a Christian, he's a babe in Christ, and he'll know some things, but he'll be ignorant of a whole lot of other things. And God understands that. We understand that as Christians. Babes in Christ are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to learn the Scriptures, to understand them so they can grow and develop in the faith. But sometimes, you know, people just willfully choose to be ignorant. They don't want to know. And that was the case with the Sadducees here in Matthew 29. That's the case sometimes when we talk with people about Scripture. Both Jesus and those Jewish leaders accepted the Old Testament as the Word of God, but they had different interpretations about the subject of the resurrection. Jesus' teaching on it was true. It was right. The Sadducees were wrong. It's sad, you see. They don't believe in the resurrection. That's a good way to remember at least one of the things that Sadducees believed in New Testament times. And then in John chapter 20 and verse 9, after Jesus raised from the dead, in John 20 and verse 9, Jesus' disciples did not expect Jesus to raise from the dead. Even though he repeatedly told them that, they didn't understand that. In John 20 and verse 9, for as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Should they have known? Yes. Did they know? No. Jesus' own disciples did not expect him to raise from the dead because they did not know, they did not understand, they were ignorant of that, willfully. People today, even religious leaders, even religious scholars, even theologians know only the passages that seem to teach what they already believe, but have not fully considered the context of those passages or have not studied other passages that reveal the full truth. When it comes to the Bible, folks, ignorance is not bliss. It's all right to be ignorant of some things. But when it comes to the Bible, no. It's not true that the less we know about the Bible, the better off we are. No, that's not true. Don't buy into that. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to Scripture. To say to someone with whom we are studying the Scriptures that they are mistaken, that yes, that needs to be pointed out to him so that he'll come to realize his error and accept truth. And if we are mistaken in what the Bible says, then we need to be man enough or woman enough to be correct and to make a correction about that. Is that always easy? No. Sometimes it is, but most of the time it's not. So one reason why people interpret the Bible differently or misinterpret the Bible is because of ignorance. They just don't know Scripture. What's the remedy for that? Read and study the Scripture for yourself. And if you come to a passage you don't understand, you don't know what it's saying, then ask for help. And that's okay. There's everything right with that. Nothing wrong with that. Another reason why some people misinterpret the Bible, and this goes back to Matthew 22 and verse 29, because of disbelief. The Sadducees were not only ignorant, they didn't know the Scripture. Another reason was they didn't know the power of God. Some people refuse to believe in the power of God. That was the case with the Sadducees, Matthew 22 and verse 29. Some people choose not to believe in the miracles recorded in the Bible. Some people choose to not believe in the sovereignty of God who made the world and everything in it. And whether they realize it or not, they're kind of like those Pharisees in the first century who denied those irrefutable miracles that Jesus performed. Sometimes when those Pharisees saw the miracles that Jesus performed, they didn't believe them. They didn't accept them. And sometimes people are like the spectators who mock the prophecies of Christ as he hung on the cross. Oh, if he's the Christ, let him come down from there and save himself. Some people will mock the Scriptures. They'll make fun of the Word of God. They'll try to rationalize away God's power. Well, the walls of Jericho didn't really fall down like in Joshua chapter 6, literally. No, that was just the falling down of paganism. No, that was the falling down literal walls around Jericho. That was a miracle. But some people will try to explain away, rationalize away the power of God. When it comes to the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, they'll explain some strange interpretations. They'll come out with strange interpretations of that creation account, try to spiritualize that away, and not take it literally, as God wants it to be taken literally. Some people deny that a universal flood occurred in Noah's day in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. Well, that really wasn't a universal flood. That was just a universal bad thing that happened. Not really a flood, but it was just the flood of their depravity. See? No, it was a literal flood. And it was a universal flood. Jesus said it was. The Bible said it was. But sometimes people misinterpret the Bible because they choose not to believe in the power of God. They choose not to believe in the sovereignty of God. They disbelieve. Another reason why people misinterpret the Bible is because of sensationalism. The disciples had different interpretations about whether or not Jesus really did say that John would never die. The Apostle John. Let's look at that. John chapter 21, the end of the book. John 21, verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Referring to the Apostle John. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? See, the disciples had different interpretations about whether or not Jesus said that John would die. Why? Why did they have those different interpretations? Because they wanted to believe something sensational. The common interpretation that John should not die was wrong. It was a misinterpretation. Jesus did not say that John would not die. Only that if he did not die, that should have been of no concern to Peter because he was to follow Christ. Jesus asked this question to rebuke Peter for his meddlesome attitude. It wasn't any of his business what would happen to John. Peter needed to take care of Peter. John would take care of John. Love for sensationalism is what drives a lot of people to have many different interpretations of the Bible. The Left Behind books by Tim LaHaye, very popular books. Movies that he has been behind, and not just him, but him and those like him. They are very popular. They're best-selling books. They're movies. A lot of people are watching these movies. They're very popular. And the reason why they're very popular is because of the false teaching of a supposed rapture. That's sensational. And people are attracted to that. They buy into that. Great crowds will show up to churches to hear about the meaning of 666 in the book of Revelation. Or the end of the world is near. Or the Antichrist and Israel. Great crowds will gather more often than not to hear what someone would say about these topics, even though such predictions and supposed signs are proven wrong and have been proven wrong over and over and over again. Don't be deceived. Another reason for misinterpreting the Bible, there are some folks that just don't love the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Satan is the father of lies. He had a certain interpretation of the 91st Psalm when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And he took it to mean that Jesus could jump from that pinnacle of the temple and he wouldn't die. He wouldn't be hurt. Satan misinterpreted the 91st Psalm. He pursued a lie, whereas Jesus spoke the truth. He loved the truth of God's Word. And he met that temptation with the truth of God's Word. Today, there are plenty of people who simply just don't love the truth. And as a result, they'll twist the Scripture to their own destruction. And they'll, as a result, be eternally lost if they don't repent. Another reason for misinterpreting the Bible, bad attitudes that people have toward Scripture. Differences in religion often occur because of people's low view of the exclusive authority of the Word of God, appealing to our own personal preferences, not the Word of God. That's a bad attitude to have toward Scripture. Well, I think the Bible says this, or I think the Bible says, no. The Bible says this. No, think too about it. It's what it says and what it doesn't say, one or the other. It's just as simple as that. Adding to the Word of God, taking away from the Word of God, is what most people do instead of taking the Bible for what it says. That's the right attitude to have, to take the Word of God for what it says. And finally, we need to understand and recognize that we can be honestly mistaken about some passage we read in the Bible. While we may be honest in our interpretations of the Word of God, it's still possible that we be honestly mistaken. There's everything good and right with honesty. But it's possible to be honestly wrong. And we need to be ever aware of that. The most important requirement in correctly interpreting the Bible is to have the attitude Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. That's the right attitude to have toward the Word of God. We need to search the Scriptures like those noble Bereans did in Acts 17 and verse 11 and make sure that we properly apply them in our lives. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you have the opportunity presented to you now to become one. And the way you do that is by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus, that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and you can be baptized. You can be immersed in water in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. That's the truth. And it's up to you. It's up to me to choose whether or not to accept it, believe it, and obey it, or reject it. It's one or the other. There's no straddling the fence here when it comes to what it takes to become a Christian. If as a child of God you've fallen astray, you've done things that are not right, you've sinned publicly, then you may need to make those things right by acknowledging those wrongs, repenting of them, confessing sin, and praying for forgiveness. It's wonderful to know that the Lord extends the invitation to any who are willing And if you're willing this morning, we invite you to come now while together we stand, while we sing.